Lecture topic, the capital of time.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Amma ba'du fa'audhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asri innal insana lafi khusr. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس الصحة والفراغ أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama-i kiram, brothers and elders. Allah Ta'ala's countless bounties, favors, ni'mats we enjoy all the time. And among the very, very great bounties of Allah Ta'ala, and which is actually the capital that we have for all the other bounties that we enjoy, is this capital of time, this very life. Everything that we have is because we have this life, so we enjoy the rest of the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala in this. And this life is what paves the way for the everlasting life of the hereafter. If this life was led correctly with iman and amal saliha, then it is this life itself that paves the way for the everlasting life of Jannat. So how valuable this life is can be understood from this. So this life itself is a very great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. And this time that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, it's a tremendously great bounty. And then if Allah Ta'ala, out of His grace and mercy, enables a person to appreciate this time and use this time correctly, then that itself is a very, very, very great bounty. There are many things which the value of which insan we understand, we value it, we treasure it. Give somebody some gold, so he understands the value of that gold. Give him some diamonds, he knows the value of diamonds. Other various things in dunya, people understand this is something valuable, something very, very expensive, very precious. So you won't find a person keeping those valuables lying around somewhere. Doesn't matter how it may get used or abused. Just another thing. Nobody does that. He treasures it. And he guards it. And there's great amount of importance and care given to it. The one thing that is so valuable that is beyond all this, which insan generally gives little regard to, is the value of time. And therefore, much of this time gets sometimes spent in what is termed as la ya'ni. La ya'ni, things that are futile. The Hadith Sharif, Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayhi, very great muhaddith. Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayhi is one of the scholars that compiled the Siha Sitta, one of the books of the Siha Sitta, Abu Dawud Sharif. Many times we might see the reference after some Hadith Sharif, maybe on the board, maybe in some literature, Abu Dawud. Abu Dawud is the name of the Muhaddith, but his kitab is known as Sunan Abi Dawud. So that's the reference. A very, very great personality. And these people were not just academics. Not just engrossed in academic knowledge and experts in academics, and that's where he finished off. There were people very greatly connected to Allah Ta'ala. There were people who had a very deep zeal for deen and to get closer to Allah Ta'ala, despite, mashallah, doing such great work, but they had that value of every moment and every good action that they could perform. It is mentioned about Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayhi. He was once in a ship. The ship was not too far off from the shore. But now he was sailing in the ship, and one person on the shore happened to sneeze. So now this person sneezed on the shore, and when he sneezed, so the teaching of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a person sneezes, then it's sunnah, you recite Alhamdulillah. But if somebody has recited Alhamdulillah, and if another person has heard it, then it is the right of the person who has said Alhamdulillah that he should be replied to. Yarhamukallah. But now that Yarhamukallah is said quietly in the person's heart, that hasn't fulfilled the right of his fellow Muslim. He must say it audibly enough for this person to hear it. So in any case, maybe this person was very, he said Alhamdulillah very loudly. Maybe he was a person with a very loud voice also. And that voice traveled and it reached the ear of Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayhi. So now he wanted to practice on this. So he hired a boat from the ship. Now this little, in those days this was a common thing, that the ships would now anchor somewhere and people needed to get to shore to go and buy some necessities and come back. They would hire the little boats, they would go to the shore, get their things and come back and join the ship. So he hired a boat for one dirham, one silver coin. And he came closer to the shore from where this person will be able to hear him now. Maybe he didn't have such a loud voice. And then he said, Yarhamukallah. Now, let alone taking a boat, paying one dirham, coming from that ship all the way closer to the shore, we sometimes hear somebody saying Alhamdulillah next to us, but we don't get the tawfiq of making, of replying to his Alhamdulillah. We sometimes, and not sometimes, every day, how many times, we pass somebody, but we don't get the tawfiq of initiating salam with the person. In the Hadith Sharif it is mentioned, Al-Badi'u bis-salam, bari'um min al-kibr. Subhanallah, what a great virtue for such a easy amal, such an easy action as making salam. Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the one who initiates salam, then meaning he goes on, no matter who it might be, somebody senior to him, somebody junior to him, somebody he's familiar with, somebody he doesn't know who's this person, he knows it's his Muslim brother. He's walking out of the masjid alongside somebody who he doesn't have any idea who he is, where he is from, but he also came for salah, it's his Muslim brother. The signs are all there of a Muslim. But now he makes it a point of always initiating salam. So what will be the effect of this? Besides all the very great virtues and rewards, it will clean pride out of him. And what is pride? Such a cancer, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that لا يدخل الجنة. Such a person won't enter Jannat, who has pride to the extent of a mustard seed. Meaning he'll have to first go to get it cleansed out. Provided he left this dunya with iman, he'll certainly go to Jannat one day. But this pride to that extent of a mustard seed, such a tiny little seed, so that tiny amount of pride will become a barrier. First he'll have to go, Allah knows best how long, to get it cleansed out in Jahannam. And now such a simple amal, salam, and he's making salam, he's the first, initiating salam. Not waiting for somebody else to make salam to him. He's initiating the salam. Now, what effort it takes, what does it cost somebody, how much of time is required in it? Nothing. And yet, subhanallah, what a great amal. But now how often that too just passes by without taking that benefit of it. But now here this mom is in the ship. Somebody on the shore said, Alhamdulillah. He said, I can't lose out on this. I can't lose out on the reward of this amal. So he took this boat and he came closer to the shore, and from there he responded and said, Yarhamukallah. The person might have replied also, Yahdikumullah. So in any case, he then returned and came and boarded the ship again. So that night, while everybody was asleep, several people saw in a dream that someone is calling out. Or people heard a voice calling out that Abu Dawud has purchased Jannat for 1 dirham. Abu Dawud has purchased Jannat for 1 dirham. In other words, this amal of his, Allah Ta'ala has accepted it. And Allah Ta'ala has accepted it, he is now, inshallah, his Jannat is already declared for him. It doesn't mean all the other, subhanallah, the work that he did, and the efforts that he made, all that went away without any benefit. But Allah knows best. We have no idea which particular amal might be, that particular action might be in that moment, in a moment of acceptance, might have been done with that zeal maybe. At that moment some deeper ikhlas came. It might have been that moment when it really was the need of somebody, and someone decided to put himself into some little discomfort for somebody's very desperate need in that moment. He didn't even know how desperate that need might be. But he put himself in some discomfort to fulfill somebody's need, and that might have been the moment Allah Ta'ala's acceptance came. And his dunya akhirat got made. We have no idea. But the lesson in all this is the zeal, the talab, the thirst. It's nothing else that drives a person for something like this. Take one boat and come, and it can't be such a simple thing. Taking that boat and coming out of the ship, and not an easy thing. But he undertook all that, that was something driving him. But the outcome of it, this is the announcement that is being made. This was an angel obviously, calling out, this is the declaration. Now Allah knows best when some opportunity might be that golden opportunity. It comes in our way, but if we let it go, then we lost out. So the lesson in this is to latch onto these things. So in any case, this was just an introduction that came up in terms of the personality of Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayh. He compiled this very great kitab of Hadith Sharif. And he himself stated that this I've compiled from 500,000 ahadith. I had a collection of 500,000 ahadith which I studied and scrutinized, and I selected from there these 4,800 ahadiths. 4,800 ahadiths selected from this entire collection of 500,000. And then he himself states that there are 4 ahadiths in this book that are the summary of the whole of deen. Meaning if a person has latched onto these 4 ahadiths, he's latched onto the core and the essence of deen. Inshallah everything else will fall in place. Many things are said in that context. It doesn't mean that that is it. There's nothing more to do. What it means is this, like for example, we hear about the 6 points in the work of Dawat and Tabligh. Person holds on to this, inshallah everything else will become. That's from one angle, that is how it will become easy for a person now to take on to the rest of deen. From different perspectives and different angles, it's all coming back to the same core point. This will make deen easy for a person. So he said there's 4 ahadiths out of now. Number one, 500,000 ahadiths was the collection. From there he selected 4,800, and that's what's in the kitab, Sunan Abi Dawud. Now from that he's saying, if you take this 4 into your life fully, then you're on the road. Everything else will fall into place easily. So the one hadith sharif was what we read, but just to touch on the other ahadith that he mentioned, which he selected. So the first hadith sharif he mentioned was, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِمْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى. That actions are judged according to the intention. What intention is behind the action? What is the person's, whether it is being done with sincerity or some ulterior motive, Allah Ta'ala knows. Sometimes the best of actions can be with the worst of intentions. The best of actions can be with the worst of intentions. And as a result, it's completely destroyed, not acceptable in the court of Allah Ta'ala. And sometimes it can be one small, apparently small action. Not something that anybody will give a second thought about. Outwardly something very minimal, very small, very insignificant in our eyes. But sometimes that action which was deemed insignificant is done with such ikhlas that that becomes accepted, and other things that seem to be very, very major, all that got left on the side. Imam Razi rahmatullah alayhi, somebody saw him in a dream. He was such a great giant of a personality, and they asked him that, Subhanallah, you did so much, so you must have been blessed on the basis of all these things, so many things you did. So he replied and said, what really got accepted was rukayat, the two short rak'ats that were sometimes performed in the dead of night. The two short rak'ats in the dead of night, that got accepted more than everything else. Now that two rak'ats, short rak'ats, is the wording itself is showing something, no, very little. Those two short rak'ats in the dead of night, so that is between him and Allah Ta'ala. And done in a way that the person doesn't feel also that he had really done anything much. But that got accepted. And that got his work done. So the issue is the ikhlas. What is the extent of sincerity in that amal? That is going to determine what is going to be the outcome. And then depending that ikhlas, niyat. Niyat is from nawat. In Arabic, nawat means a seed. What kind of seed? Then that kind of tree. What quality of seed? That quality of fruit will come out of it. So when that seed is very high quality, that fruit will be accordingly. It will be export quality. And if that seed is corrupted, it's rotten, whatever, it's all going to just, that's way it is. So the aspect about ikhlas, and in this, everything a person does, what he said, what he done, has done, what is in his heart, lies away everything. What is the motivation behind those words? That ikhlas must come, that this too must be said for Allah Ta'ala. Person is saying something which is even reprimanding somebody for something. That reprimand, what is it for? Is it just to run somebody down? Or is it to please Allah Ta'ala, because that's the dictates of the moment? من أحب لله وأبغض لله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الإيمان. That there's a time when a person, he loves for Allah Ta'ala, there are those situations where he expresses his disapproval and dislike for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. But that is when it's done for Allah Ta'ala. But it's done with an ulterior motive, or just to vent anger, just to score points, just to say something for the sake of saying it, he'll get the sin of ghibat. He'll get the sin of ghibat. So now that intention behind everything, and then sometimes the right intention, the wrong action doesn't change the good of, that doesn't make it good. The best intention, but the action is wrong, then it's wrong. That is completely out. The intention doesn't count. Somebody is stealing with the intention of giving whatever he steals to the poor. That's not going to help him. He'll be still a thief. And if he's caught, his hand will be cut. And in the akhirat, he'll be punished if he doesn't make tawbah. So in any case, the intention, that's the crucial thing in a mu'min's life. Everything starts off with that niyat. So the first hadith sharif he mentioned was this. So now this is the foundation of it all. And then the second hadith sharif was what was recited. We'll just go through this. And at the beginning, min husni islam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. That this is the beauty of a person's Islam. What is the beauty of his Islam? That he leaves out futile things. Futile things he leaves it out. So just to elaborate on this a little bit, we'll just come back to it later. But to go to the third and the fourth hadith first. The third hadith sharif, now this is such a wide collection of ahadith. From that he selected 4,800, and he's saying this is the crux of it now. The third hadith sharif, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That none of you is a believer meaning his iman is very deficient until he loves for his fellow Muslim what he loves for himself. Until he loves for his fellow Muslim what he loves for himself. Now, that heart of well-wishing, that a mu'min, this is his heart. His heart is always well-wishing. Well-wishing, how does this express itself? What will he wish for somebody else? Or what would he wish for himself if he was in that person's shoes? Very simple situation. Somebody made a mistake, whatever mistake he made. And if supposing Allah forbid we were in that position, what we'll wish for ourselves? That now this must get plastered all over the world. That now we must be dealt with very, very ruthlessly and harshly and whatever. No, we'll be wishing something very different. So that what we will wish for ourselves, to wish for him, what treatment we'll want for ourselves, wish the same treatment for others. And likewise in so many different angles. Somebody is now embarking on some venture, whatever it might be, some business venture, whatever. If I was in his position, what I would wish for myself? That this must take off well, it must be profitable, Allah Ta'ala put barakat in it, and all the various things that good I would wish for myself, that's what's to be wished for him now. Otherwise my iman is very deficient. Now this is the zeal of a mu'min, the mu'min's heart. Imagine if it's the other way around, actually wishing the person's downfall. Actually wishing that this person now, some loss must come and whatever else, harm, that is gone in the total opposite direction. So this was the third Hadith Sharif. And the fourth Hadith Sharif, Al-Halalu Bayyinun, Al-Haramu Bayyinun, Wabaynahuma Mushtabihat. The halal is very clear cut. There's much detail to this. But just the crux of it, halal, there are certain things that every single person knows, there is no question about it, this is halal. So many things that we eat, now some fruit, nobody goes to ask around, that is this halal or is that halal? No, this fruit is halal. So many things, edibles are halal. And certain things are clear-cut haram. No Muslim has any doubt about it. Every Muslim, no matter how little he knows too, but he knows about it. He knows wine and alcohol is haram, he knows pork is haram, he knows gambling is haram, etc. So just the basic knowledge also if a person has of deen, he knows these things. And then between these two is mushtabihat. There are certain things which are a little confusing to the ordinary person. لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. Many don't know the reality of it. It's confusing to the ordinary person. Now what is to be done then? So the crux of the rest of the Hadith Sharif is that practice on caution. That's the sum total of the rest of the Hadith Sharif. That a person is, he's got the importance of his iman at heart and the value of his iman, then he should act on caution. For dunya, we act on caution. When there's high stakes involved, there's big risks in doing something or not doing it, say, rather be cautious. Don't take the path of risk. So for other things, we are always cautious. We're taking the path of caution. So this is the more important thing because our whole akhirah depends on this. So iman and the issues that affect our deen, when there is something not clear for us, simple, take the path of caution. When in doubt, then leave it out. In doubt about something, simple, leave it out, not going to harm you. If you did something that was doubtful, later on it might turn out that it was okay. So okay, very good. But if it turns out it wasn't okay, the action is already done, but it was doubtful and you ate it, and later on it turned out, okay, no, it was fine. So alhamdulillah. But if it turned out it wasn't fine, but it's already gone into the system, the harm is already there. So these were the four ahadith. So just to come back to the second Hadith Sharif, in which نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم says, من حسن اسلام المرء ترکه ما لا يعنيه, that this is the beauty of a person's Islam, that he leaves out what is futile. The fuqaha, the muhaddiseen explain la yani, futility, as that which got no benefit in deen, akhirat, or in dunya also. It's just futile. People call it pastime sometimes. But that pastime, many a pastime, is actually waste time. Because of no benefit of any sort. And many a pastime is actually sin time. It crosses the border of permissibility completely. Many a person is passing time with his phone, but he's gone into sin time. But screen time is no more just permissible screen time or waste of time. It's become sin time. Now how many times a person has now maybe spent whatever time, half an hour, 1 hour, on that phone or wherever he went to, and the things that he now got himself involved in, the misuse of the eyes, misuse of the ears, then his heart started getting caught up in haram thoughts, and then now he closed it up after 1 hour, but the effects of it sometimes will carry on for days. It'll put him days back. There's one saying in Urdu that لمحوں نے خطا کی صدیوں نے سزا پائی. So I'm saying, what it means actually is, sometimes, لمحوں نے خطا کی, there's a mistake in the spur of a moment, but it's such a kind of mistake that the ill effects of it sometimes carries on for centuries. So outwardly it was something that just was a spur of the moment thing, but in the spur of the moment sometimes a person has uttered something, in the spur of the moment he did something, but it was such a blunder, that word, that statement, or that one action, or that one decision in the spur of the moment, it set in motion such an issue and such a problem that generations continued having that issue of it. So what the lesson in that is, that one moment also can be crucial, to be careful. But now, these moments are what our life is all about. Our life is all about this time. And people very, very happily celebrate the passing of time. Person is celebrating now his 50th birthday, somebody celebrating their 40th birthday, somebody 20th maybe, somebody 70th. But now celebrating what? So I'm celebrating, no, I'm now 50 years old. But if we knew the reality, for example, that a person, for example, has 51 years of life. Nobody knows how much they have, only Allah Ta'ala knows. But if a person knew for sure, he has 51 years of life, and now he's turned 50. So mashallah, he'll really celebrate that I only got 1 year left now. He will be in such a state of mind that he got time for nothing else. He has to just be focused on what can be done in this 1 year left now. We don't have any idea of whether we got 1 day left. That was just an example. If a person has 1 year left and he knows about it, he'll be a very different person. We don't know whether we got 1 day left. That's Allah Ta'ala's grace. We don't know what we have left, so we live on some hope as well. But we can't forget this reality, that death could come any time. So now this is the beauty of a person's Islam, that this layani, this futility is shunned. And he makes his time productive. He makes his time productive for dunya in ways which will help him and others. But more importantly and more crucially, productive for his akhirat. So while he's here, mashallah, he'll do what is required of him to earn a halal living, etc. Part of deen. But his greater and more important focus and his direction is how to make his akhirat. Because these moments, once it passes, it's gone. He'll never come back. We are insan, we are human, we are weak insan. So Allah Ta'ala hasn't compelled us to be 24/7 in the masjid. Allah Ta'ala didn't make that compulsory. Person will go, he'll have time with his family, he'll have his rest, he'll do whatever is required of him in terms of whatever his needs are. But his heart and mind will not forget his purpose in life, where his direction is. What is his destination and goal? And therefore, how to make those moments precious and take the best benefit out of it, that will be his primary concern. So ever there's an opportunity, Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayh, he had that opportunity of coming and saying, Yarhamukallah, he bought Jannat with that one dirham. He didn't take it for granted, so what now? He made use of that moment. He had that opportunity. He didn't let it pass. We have so many opportunities that just pass by and pass by like a flowing tap, but we don't take advantage of those moments. And hours go by, weeks and months go by, and years go by if we add all the time wasted. Allah forbid, one is the time rested, it was went in resting, mashallah. Very good, no problem. The time that went in something that was necessary for earning our livelihood, alhamdulillah. But provided that the compulsory aspects of deen were not compromised, there was time for ibadat, very good. But then how much of time apart from that was wasted completely? Occupied in haram, that is completely out of the question. If all that has to be gathered together, how much it will total up? So this is the thing that we need to focus on. This is our very precious commodity that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, the capital of our entire existence, time. And every moment that goes, is gone. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh, he used to read one couplet, Urdu couplet, the wording is not in mind now. But it was about these, in those days was a very common thing, probably it's still somewhere lying here and there. There used to be these grandfather clocks. They call it grandfather clocks. And it'll, every hour, it would, now there'll be a that sound, the dong sound. So now he, so now if it's now 12 o'clock, so that thing will sound 12 times. Now that's a sound, it's got no, nothing, it's not saying something specific. And when there's a sound, you put your own words into it, it'll sound like that. Whatever you want to put into it, it'll sound like that. Whatever you put in your mind, it'll sound like as if this is what it's saying. So he used to say, look, listen to this thing. Now in Urdu, that sound now, and it's now as it's going back and forth swinging, so it makes a sound that runs with that swing. He says, suno isko, suno, ye keh rahe ghata di, ghata di. Now ghata di meaning it's decreased it. It's decreased it. Meaning 12 more hours now decrease from your life. Another 1 hour came, another 1 hour is decreased it. So every time this is sounding that gong, it's saying something. Listen to what it's saying. It's saying another hour gone. Another hour gone. One moment will come and say your life is gone now. Nothing left. Now it's too late to now do anything. While the chance is still there, there's a chance to do something. There's a chance to recite one subhanallah. There's a chance to make some istighfar, to turn to Allah Ta'ala. Many a times when these parts of the year come, people feel very relaxed. They feel so relaxed that what they were doing while they were busy, in the busy days, that tilawat of the Quran Sharif, that time that they had allocated for zikr, for tasbihat, that time for some khidmat of deen, say, no, now it's time, holiday, relax. So even what they were doing while they were busy, they stopped doing that too. Whereas now it's free, so should be a little bit more of that. Because this is, after all, those opportunities and those moments that Allah Ta'ala has made it easy now, that do something more. Unfortunately, what we were doing while a person was busy too, that goes downhill. That is a very sad state of affairs. This is a chance Allah has given us to now make something of our akhirat. This is a time to turn to Allah Ta'ala, meaning all these moments that we have, all these opportunities, to use it in a way that brings us closer to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala grant me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make zikr for a few minutes and dua, inshaAllah.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وسلم. الله الله جل جلاله عم نواله. الله 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 لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولك الملك كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم. يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. إله العالمين يا الله, oh most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. يا الله forgive us يا الله. يا الله forgive all our major and minor sins يا الله. إله العالمين make us your true and obedient servants يا الله. إله العالمين enable us to appreciate every ni'mat and bounty of yours يا الله. يا الله the greatest bounty of iman that you blessed us with يا الله. يا الله enable us to يا الله treasure and Ya Allah, be grateful for this bounty of time, Ya Allah, for every precious moment that you have granted us, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, save us from wasting this time in things that you are displeased with, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, enable us to make our akhirat, Ya Allah. Enable us to engage in those things that are pleasing to you, Ya Allah. Save us from all the traps of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Save us from all the fitna and fasad, Ya Allah. Save us from all the evils and vices, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, cleanse our hearts out of all the evils, Ya Allah. Remove the pride, the malice, the jealousy, the ego, Ya Allah. Allah, fill our hearts with your mahabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love of Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fill our hearts with the love of deen, Ya Allah. The love of the amal of deen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, accept us for the khidmat of deen, Ya Allah. Pray Allah, accept us and our progeny till Qiyamah, Ya Allah. With ikhlas and afiyat and qabooliyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifa kamila, ajila, mustamirra, daima. Ya Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, whatever difficulty and hardship any person is in, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, remove it, Ya Allah. Throughout the world, wherever the Muslims are in any suffering, Ya Allah, remove their pain and suffering, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat to one and all, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat to the people of Palestine, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat to all the oppressed Muslims throughout the world, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, remove their difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant them khair and barakah in every matter, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you remove the, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant them victory over their enemies, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant hidayat to their enemies, Ya Allah. If hidayat is not decreed for them, Ya Allah, wipe them out from the face of this earth, Ya Allah. Allahumma kfinahum bima shi'ta. Allahumma kfinahum bima shi'ta. Allahumma kfinahum bima shi'ta. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, bless us with taqwa, Ya Allah. Bless us with taqwa, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with taqwa, Ya Allah. Enable us and the entire ummah to do those actions that bring down your rahmat, Ya Allah. Save us and the entire ummah from such actions that bring down azab, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, show your maghfirat and the entire ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, this Mubarak month of Rajab has commenced, Ya Allah. Enable us to use this time, Ya Allah, these Mubarak moments, Ya Allah, in the correct manner, Ya Allah. Enable us to prepare for the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, take us to the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Enable us to witness the Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the tawfiq of spending the month of Ramadan in a way that you become pleased, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us, Ya Allah, all the things that you are pleased with, Ya Allah. Grant us afiyat in deen, Ya Allah. Afiyat in in dunya, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. All those who asked us to make dua for them, all have raised their hands to this dua. Ya Allah, we fulfill each one's dire needs, ya Allah. Fulfill each one's pious aspirations, ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, ya Allah. Grant the best of dunya and akhirat to each one, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Our greatest need, ya Allah, is that we become your true and obedient servants, ya Allah. That we become yours, ya Allah. Make us yours, ya Allah. You become ours, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, for too long we have been, ya Allah. Ya Allah, fleeing directly into the arms of nafs and shaitan, ya Allah. We have become the friends of our enemy, ya Allah. We have made friendship with shaitan, ya Allah. Ya Allah, take us out of this friendship, ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us understand shaitan is our enemy, ya Allah. Nafs is in, ya Allah, kahoots with shaitan, ya Allah. Ya Allah, take us into your friendship, ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us your friends, ya Allah. Make us your friends, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Ya Allah, take us in your last breath, ya Allah, in your friendship, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah, death can come any moment, ya Allah. Ya Allah, and we're spending our time with shaitan, ya Allah. Ya Allah, what will be our condition if death has to come to us in that moment, ya Allah? Ya Allah, save us from such a disgrace, ya Allah. Save us from such a disaster, ya Allah. Save us from such a disaster, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, keep us in your obedience, ya Allah. And take us in your obedience, ya Allah. And raise us on the day of Qiyamah with Kamil Iman, ya Allah. With your pleasure, ya Allah. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله.